views and opinions expressed on this podcast show are solely those of Everything's EHC's guests and hosts. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of the San Francisco Lighthouse for the Blind, Enchanted Hills Camp, or Maceo.net. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy the show.
So we're in the Kiva, and I don't even know what's going on anymore. And my name is Maceo. You're listening to Everything EHC, and I have a special guest here for a podcast. Who are you?
Tony Fletcher.
Tony Fletcher is back. You did number one with us. We discussed a lot of different things about EHC, the particulars. Now we're going to talk about the summer. How was your summer, Tony?
It was a great summer, Maceo. I mean, you were there. I was telling the staff, you know, as we look back and reflect on the staffs I've been working with since 98, that I put this particular summer staff, the 2017 crew, in the top four of all time. Don't want to call out the other ones, but it was really a terrific staff this summer.
Top four. I would totally agree with that. I haven't been here as long as you have, but it was my best summer. Just the staff was super good. When the staff works really well together, it makes less stress for you, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely.
Is the stress levels monitor, is your stress level monitor how easy or how difficult a summer is at EHC? Because I don't ever necessarily see you stress, which is why I'm asking. Internally,
sure, you process things all the time, right, and keep your poker face on about stuff. Don't let them see you sweat.
Yep.
No, I think what has occurred in my career at EHC is that there's always more balls in the air. And that's just the accumulation of doing things a lot of times. There's certainly things that I'm continually learning, but there's a lot of things that I've learned. And you try really hard not to forget what you've learned. Why make a mistake that you've already learned once, right? So it's the retention of all the stuff that you've gained over the course of your career, continually gaining some new things. Probably my best experiences of the summer are exactly what you're pointing out, is that if you have a staff that can show initiative, have the work ethic, understand the philosophy, the mission of the organization, that part makes my job a lot easier. What doesn't get easier are sometimes things you just don't have control over. It's like I'm noticing more and more is like transportation systems, right? They're running longer. It's taking longer for people to get up here. People have to plan their days a little bit earlier. It was a hotter summer than we've had in the last few summers, and we've had to deal with some more heat-related issues. Or just people get crankier when it's hot.
Yes.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter how many years of experience you have. You're going to have certain things that are beyond your control. But having a staff that kept their act together, that made my life a little bit easier. I have never had a summer that's not stress-free. I don't know if there's ever been a camp director in the history.
I would imagine that it's just variable. The stress is variable. It never actually goes away.
And for those future camp directors out there that want to do it, be prepared to be signed on 24/7 for the entire summer, even on your days off. Because that's the life of a camp director, too, is that someone catches up on some information that they need. It could be our staff that are on vacation off-site and they need something. Or you catch up on your paperwork because now you have time to do it. So you have to really be into it. The campers themselves this summer were a fantastic group of campers. You know, I reflect on each session brought special people to the camp. Some have been in the organization for many, many years, and also the fresh faces that we've seen this year.
A lot of both this year.
And good both directions, and getting a lot of love. Again, the staff make that happen too, because you guys know my mantras about placing the campers first is my mentality. And I think the campers felt they were placed first in how we did our activities. We, you know, threw some new stuff. Certainly your podcasts were a huge hit this summer. That was very popular.
Good.
And you
I
did
was pretty pleased.
Talent shows were great this summer. We did some really fun, interesting things.
We mixed it up a little bit, didn't we?
Mixed
just
it
a
up.
Little bit.
Yeah, we did. We mixed it up. All the area leaders, you know, carried their weight. And the area leaders are really critical to the program success for a summer. You know, that the area leaders have variety, but they also know how to keep the tried and true available for those that expect it.
That's exactly it. Finding the balance between what people are used to doing and getting them to try something different that they've never done.
Yeah.
I asked a few people on the podcast, some of the shows, that they'd done anything different this summer that they'd never done before, and they were like, and then I had to ask them, have you ever podcasted? And they were like, no. So, like, getting them to think outside of what they normally do here at EHC certainly happened this summer. I felt like you said, all the area leaders did a good job at that. I certainly tried to do some different things. And on that note, I already have some new ideas for next summer. So.
You have new I know that. I think of Tim doing the worm farm. How
that
fun was
cool.
that?
Yeah.
And bringing a real didgeridoo and just bringing his wisdom of nature. I thought Julie did a really great job in arts and crafts.
Slime
was so popular.
Was so popular, and that was new for her. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, she's just a cool cat to be around. I thought Tino did a really nice job of moving things around. You know, I never, even though he did a lot of things that would repeat, it's how he did them and how he motivated and where he might have done it that kept things moving along.
I never knew the ropes course was so popular.
Yeah.
That's something that got right. on the board a lot. I have no mm-hmm. idea what they were doing down there, but mm-hmm. apparently rope courses was really
good. Yeah, I mean, they only work with two elements. It's something that we should probably explore for next summer to add an element or two, or just team building stuff, because they're really not that difficult to add. But it is. You add some new spices to each summer. Volunteers. We had we had the permanent volunteers, like the Australians. They're all
right.
volunteers.
Right.
Poonam, volunteer. Nadine, volunteer. Evan.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they were core volunteers, but then you think of little Calvary that come up, and they just bring their energy for maybe a day, or they might have brought it for a longer period, and they bring something new. Remember when, like, our dance teachers come up, you know, and do the dance?
David and... Haley?
And Haley,
For the teen dance, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And Amanda came up with Kate, and they did their meditation workshops,
yes,
which is the first time
absolutely.
We've done that.
Yep.
And then having the dog guide camp simultaneously.
Singing for seniors
was outrageous.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a great time.
Next year I'd like to have it down on the stage.
Oh my goodness. That mm-hmm. would be lovely. Their voices would be spectacular
mm-hmm.
down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm down.
And also challenging the internationals to think about, like our group from Hawaii.
Yes.
You know, I'd like to see some of our Australian connections actually bring Australian teenagers over to camp to come and participate at camp, and continually keep pressing for that kind of connection. You know, you and I had talked about during teen session, I counted out there of the volunteers and the staff, and then one particular camper, we had 13 countries I counted that were represented around us, and then we had at least 5 states
definitely
that were
international and from people from all over. Yeah,
yeah.
I talked about it all the time. How in the world did you put that many people together from that many countries and have them work that well together?
Yeah.
What's your formula? Do you have something?
Well,
A times?
I'm really big on the 4 principles that I'm trying to figure out if these folks have the experiences, the core. There's more that are done through presentations I've been to as far as like psychological analysis of what makes a good worker, but there's 4 things that I took away years ago from American Camp Association presentation. It said, you know, look for folks that have a strong work ethic, right? And they have to have a demonstrated strong work ethic. What have they done that's a strong work ethic? Now, it could be something that they've worked on a farm, right?
Right.
Or it could be somebody who's been involved with organized sports and they've been through the rigors of that commitment.
Training, right.
It could be someone who has worked in fast food. But for a lot of our blind or low vision folks, we have to figure out where have they had some kind of demand that's caused them. You and I both know you're on your feet 12, 14 hours a day.
Long days.
So they're not going to be successful if you can't find out if they can handle
those
hard work.
Days.
You right, have to right. find that. Another part of is finding out if they've been involved in some capacity of teamwork. It goes back to sports teams. It could be music. It could be the drama class.
Right.
It could be a member of a church and they've had to organize things. But have they demonstrated they've operated in a team
gotcha.
Before?
Mm-hmm.
And then problem-solving skills, right? Problem-solving actually gets coupled a lot with conflict resolution mm-hmm. skills, right? How do they manage that? What are situations where they've had some challenging things and how do they get through those? Because, you know, conflict is what it's all about. You can't, you cannot live and operate with so many people and provide so much service without having some form of conflict or problem solving. So I try to unearth their experience with that. And then finally, and more likely to happen within hiring blind and low vision folks or folks that are coming to work with us is their commitment to the mission. You know, if and our mission is to provide, you know, independence and equality through recreation, and we're a play-based type of camp. And are they committed to play and having fun, building independence, you know, equal opportunities, accessibility? Can they buy into that, you know,
right.
and have they had that opportunity? And that's usually not hard when you're hiring blind folks to work with blind folks.
Right.
But you'd still have some people who have different ideas, but if you say, hey, can you do this by using play as a teaching technique to have fun? You know, it's not the rigors of sitting in a class with your headphones on learning how to use JAWS. It's very much about being goofy at a campfire.
Yep.
Or being called out at the dining hall
That's
to
it.
Do something strange
That's
or
it.
Different. You know, can you do it?
I love my job, and for that very reason, which is I have fun doing what I do. The time that I get to spend with campers doing the activities, I don't clock watch. There's no the time. All of a sudden, the period's over, and we still have four songs left in OJ Radio.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so fun. I don't want anybody to leave. And then it's a whole new group of folks that come in,
yeah.
and you have that that a different experience, but that same vibe of always just everybody having so much fun. And as someone who can multitask that kind of way of thinking, which is working and having fun with the campers,
mm-hmm.
it really molds into something really special and fun for me. So that's the best way I can explain how I love my job. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here again
You're
this
welcome.
Summer and do this podcast and do this thing. And you don't like to talk about the future too much until next year because there's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. We've been over this discussion before. So finally, in number one, you told us a little antidote, and now you're going to finish telling us the story. Can you do that?
Yeah, I mean, we left it off is that the first time the job was offered to me, I declined the job. Well, that really has everything to do with the person who brought me into the field, which was Rose Resnick, the founder of Enchanted Hills Camp. When she was operating the Rose Resnick Center and I was hired on as the Saturday youth coordinator, and then I became her full-time recreation director. Well, it was during that tenure and working with Rose that Rose retired. And we had a new management team. They asked me to be on this small little management team. And I was contacted by Kathy Abrahamson. Would I be interested in being the Enchanted Hills Camp director? And I went over and I met with Kathy and I met with Anita. And it was a sweet offer. I mean, it was, what a great opportunity, right? Especially because I had known so much about camp through Rose. But I said, you know, I don't think I could leave the Rose Resnick Center right now because they're struggling. I mean, we're trying to replace Rose. We're trying to, you know, make things happen. And so I was still kind of beholden to Rose, even though I would step into something that Rose would consider her greatest accomplishment, I would think, is, you know, the starting of the camp. It was a good move in the sense that, you know, thank goodness they found Scott Duncan and his wife Teresa Duncan. Scott was up here the first couple of seasons, and then Teresa finished off, because they were really good for the camp program.
Oh, wait, they were directors?
They were the directors.
You turned it down, and then other Scott, directors came.
Scott came in.
And then you picked it up later.
Yeah, and so we ended up merging our organizations. That was one of the things, and that's always the joke in the community that's still around, you know, that's been with us all these years at the Lighthouse, is Kathy and I had already merged our programs. We started doing joint recreation programs between the Rose Resnick Center and the Lighthouse at the time. We were cooperative in nature. So we started doing joint programming, and then we formally merged together when our small little agency really realized that it would be better for the blind community not to compete over the same grants, but to kind of unify ourselves. And so when I joined the Lighthouse, I was doing the recreation. I was running the youth programs, but Scott and especially Teresa. Funny thing is, we were all going to school together at San Francisco State, too, for our master's degrees. I was happy that those guys were up there. They brought a good spirit to the camp, you know, and especially with youth. You know, they were really empowering for the young ones. And then when Teresa stepped down at the end of 97 and the job came up again in 98, and then I said, okay, I will, I'm up for it. You know?
Wow. So how many years was that? How many years in between?
So that was the first time it was offered, I think, was right around 92.
Okay.
Yeah, 92, 93, right? It was
so
kind of, it was,
years.
Yeah. Usually what happens in the camp world, camp directors step down after the summer or right around Christmas, somewhere in that period generally. You don't want your camp directors bailing out on you in May. So I'm going to say it was somewhere around the transition of the year, 92, 93.
Okay. And then they were directors from then until 90.
Yeah, and they were husband and wife. And then Scott got more involved in other outside projects. And so Teresa really took over. But Scott and Teresa both had worked under another camp director that I was asked to replace when he no longer worked for the Lighthouse, and he took off, and Paul. And I knew Paul. You know, I did some joint programming with the kids programs with Paul from the Lighthouse. So it was all meant to be, but the timing wasn't meant to be when it first came up. And I think it was really good time-wise. I think Scott and Teresa were the right energy to come in and move it that direction. I had spent a lot of years working with kids, but over at the Rose Resnick Center, I was sharpening my skills working with a lot of adults.
Gotcha.
The adults were really kind of becoming my wheelhouse with the blind community. I was known for working with the blind kids because that's how I came up through the system. And, of course, I always have had a love and a devotion of my career dates back to, you know, Montessori teacher right pretty much out of high school, got involved with after-school supervision and then working at camps and things like that. A lot of kids experience. So like anything, you get into a new field and you thrive if you are curious about it. You know, you have a passion about it. And that's an audience I hadn't worked with. And the Rose Resnick Center, I spent, you know, working 5-6 days a week, and 5 of those 6 days would be with adults.
Gotcha.
1 day with the kids. Mm. Yeah, and so I was really just interested in working
right.
with older adults.
Huh. So that definitely helped everything by at that point by getting you ready to come to camp to deal with all different ages.
Because we have all ages. You know, I say that to the staff as we're interviewing them. I said, you have to be prepared to spend half of your time working with adults up at camp, if not a little bit more, because even in the family camps, you know, that's equal,
yep.
adults and
yep.
kids. And we have the 2 adult sessions and we have the 2 youth sessions. And technically, for some of the teens, they're adults. They're 18,
right.
19, 20
yep.
years old. So you have to have a little bit more of an adult lean. Everybody thinks, you know, kids, go to camp, work with the kids.
Yeah, no, this is totally different.
It is.
It is.
Totally different.
Thank you for sharing that story. That's super interesting. Linda Fonseca will be very happy that you finally told
me. She wanted the answer.
She's
huh?
been asking me all summer long.
What's the answer?
What's the answer? So next year's 2020.
Yep. The big 2-0.
And
setting
then
the course.
Do you have anything beyond that? Are you priming someone for the big
wish
the big
good.
Retirement?
I don't know if we can ever takes commitment. I would love to see some young bucks coming up or old bucks coming up that want to take the reins somewhere.
How would you train? Is it 2 years of training? You're still 5 years out.
Oh, it's seriously a 2 year commitment just to learn the ropes. If you found somebody who had the experience working at a camp that is as diverse as we are, then the learning curve, of course, would be a little bit quicker. But when I came in my first year in 98, my first year was spent trying to acknowledge what the traditions were at that time, not to come in and radically change anything. I just tried to understand what was being done. And then the second year, I started putting a spin on it, and I tried pretty hard to bring camp more into the fold of the general philosophy of the Lighthouse as a whole. And that's one of the things I was in charge of trying to do, is making sure that there wasn't a little fiefdom that operated separately with its own rules and all that kind of stuff. Understanding it's camp, just like if you're working in the deafblind program, they're going to have things that's specific for the deafblind. O&M's going to have its specific thing. Every department has its own little thing, but we should all be moving together in the same direction and not apart. So 99 is when I really had a chance to start shaping my staff based on who I'd worked with prior. And to this day, as you've seen, I mean, most of our staff coming up have a connection as campers at one time. You know, I could spot a Tino Benelli 5 years ago.
We talk about it sometimes. You know, you can see very in the youth group. Mm-hmm. The future of camp, we always say.
Yeah.
You're the future of camp.
You're the future. I'm looking always ahead. So it's funny when you say, well, I don't look. My problem sometimes is I'm always looking ahead.
Right.
And trying to stay as present as possible. I'm most present when it comes to spending the time with the relationships you build at camp.
At camp.
And clearly, since if we go back to 89 and 90, there's some of these folks that have been in my life more than half of my life.
Yeah, no, we were, you know, talking about all this as it's leading up to 20 and how eight and 9 year olds are 28 and 29. And then you had your teens who were 16 and 17 who are now 36 and 37. Am I doing the right math here?
They're coming to family camp with their own children.
Right.
You know, and such. And it's a proud moment.
That's deep.
It is deep. And it's something I've enjoyed that process. But camp life, as you know, it puts a lot of mileage on you.
It's challenging. I worry about you sometimes. I wonder how you do it. My brain would be exploding daily.
Remember, as I say, a day is a week, week is a month, a month is a year at Enchanted Hills Camp.
Well, I'm going to give you some rest now on all of this. There's some definitely awesome insight on a director at a camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that. I'm sure all of our listeners will appreciate that as well. After a long, good summer here
great
at Enchanted
summer.
Hills Camp, people
put it in the great category, Mason.
Yeah.
Put in the great summer.
Okay, we had a great summer. You know, and from my personal perspective, you're an awesome boss to have. I've learned a lot from you, a great mentor, a great friend. I appreciate all that you've done for my wife, Kate, and I.
Thank you.
And I look forward to our future and just continuing the process and what we got going on here. And I wish you a great transition from 19 to 20. How about that?
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So
we have to do a shout out.
Okay, do it.
Because for the 20th, you know, August, I think it's 15th through the 18th, something around there, is the 20-year reunion of EHC staff. So those who've worked with me between 98 up until 2018. That is their reunion, 4-day 3. It's their family camp,
basically.
We will
be having a gathering
of
sorts.
And, you know, hopefully we'll put together something that will be more of a Saturday event. I have to sleep for a week or two,
mm-hmm.
and then it'll start unfolding and what that might look like for the future. But I certainly am trying to pull back some of the staff to celebrate, you know, 20 years of an accomplishment. But also I think part of it is bring folks back to the nest a little bit and stay connected. I think all of us have a level of commitment to make sure that this camp is in existence for another 65, 70 years, right?
Yeah,
and so I want to make sure that they know. And that's something I've always tried to pride myself is making sure people feel welcomed back. Right. When we had that counselor who came up who worked with us, 81, 83, 84, I have, you know, no prior knowledge with him. But if someone calls me up that worked on the staff from any year, I'm welcome. Yeah. It's like, come on back. Check out what we have going on.
People get possessive of camp. They get really it sticks with them.
Yeah.
Whether they come for a little bit and then leave and then come back later. It's just something that
it's never as good as it used to be.
The ropes are down, Tony. The ropes are down.
Where's the diving board? Where's the stage?
There used to be a stage in here, I know.
We walked to Napa when I was a kid. Yes, well now put the rifle in your hand and take a shot.
Always good to talk to Tony Fletcher. We're looking forward to celebrating 20 years
next
year.
We can do it.
You got through 19. We did it successfully.
Yes.
I'm going to preach to the staff next year that this is your 20th. Let's keep it low stress, folks.
We're gonna have my own fire
Don't
drill
do
parade.
It for me.
My own fire drill parade.
Okay, we got it going on. Thank you for listening to Everything EHC. You've been listening to Maceo and Tony Fletcher. There's a few more to come, and thanks for listening. We had a great summer. We hope you enjoyed our broadcasting here at Everything EHC. Enchanted Hills Camp, very first and only podcast recorded right here live at EHC. Thanks for listening. I'm Maceo, your host, signing off.